Have you ever felt alone and struggled to make new friends as an adult? Making friends gets tougher after school and college when we no longer have that built-in social circle. This can lead to loneliness, especially for those working remotely or maybe you've moved recently. In this episode, you'll understand why adult friendships are challenging but possible. You'll learn practical strategies to put yourself out there and gain confidence to initiate conversations and make new connections. So keep listening so you can learn how to make friends that stick, even if you're an introvert who struggles with small talk.
But first, this is the FitMess, where together we learn to develop habits that help us live beyond our mental health struggles to create happier, healthier lives.
He's Zach. He lives in the future with his anxiety.
He's Jeremy, and he lives in the past with his depression. And we get together once a week in the present to share the obstacles we face and how we overcome them.
All right, it's a question that I know a lot of people are dealing with. I hear about this a lot from other full-grown adults. How do you make friends as an adult? How do you just go up to random people and somehow go from stranger in the coffee shop to friend you're hanging out with? I still don't know. I think I'm getting a little closer to figuring out a path. And that's largely because I started this year with my one word goal of community, right? I realized how alone I've been, how lonely I've felt. And I'm aware that I, you know, need to put myself out there and meet people and make friends. And so yesterday, I'm out walking my dog. Dogs, I have two, as it turns out. And I'm doing it alone, right? I'm taking my little nature bath alone with my dogs. Came home, got in the sauna alone by myself for 20 minutes. Then I got in the cold tub for 10 minutes alone by myself. Then I'm in the shower realizing like all these things I'm doing to manage my mental health, to manage my physical health, to take care of myself, to expand my longevity and be a better person and all these things. It's the most important things I'm doing with my time, I'm doing them alone. And it just hit me like, why are you not including more people in these things that are the most important part of your life? And this is no fault of my wife. She's been begging to do these things with me forever. And I'm always just like, no, I'm going to go run now. Bye. And so it was really vivid to me that like all of the attention I've put into taking care of myself has been on isolated activities. And, you know, very much the man in the arena, right? Like I'm here fighting this battle alone and nobody can help me. But it was just shocking to me how much I spend my time doing these super important things alone.
Yeah. And a lot of them, it is better to do them alone, right? I mean, there's an amount of work here that I don't necessarily want to sit in a sauna with anyone.
Right.
And sweat. That's fun alone. I know, you know, being cold, that's something I do alone. A lot of this work is important to do alone to be okay with it first. Then you can share in the experience, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to, there's a lot of self-care things that I don't know if I would continue them if I started with another person. It's, you know, falling in love with it yourself is pretty important to me. But, I spent a lot of days wondering, like, you know, like I'd just go out into the wild, like leave my house and be like, why has no one like glommed on to me and like, you know, made friends with me? What's going on?
Am I ugly? What's going on here?
But it's that, you know, like when my daughter and I were talking about snakes the other day and she was like, I'm so scared of the snake. I was like, look, the snake is probably more scared of you than you are of it.
Sure.
And I was like, oh my God, people are the same way.
People,
like if you go out and just expect somebody to make friends with you, I don't think it's going to happen. Like it's rare, right? To find those people that are comfortable doing that. So unfortunately, what's the harder of the two? You gotta walk up to the people. You gotta do the things. You gotta, right? It always bothers me when you're like, oh, the solution is the hard one.
I know, because it always is. That's the, like if solutions were easy, there'd be no problems. That's just it's just simple math. But it is interesting, you know, the work that I've been putting in to build that community to make those friends has been very much on this path. I've been going to this group cold plunge thing every week. I'm getting to know those people every week to where we all sort of look forward to seeing each other. It's a nice little social gathering. So that's one of my wellness things that is expanding. And from that, I met a guy who now we go running two or three times a week up in the trails. And so like, it's interesting how it's evolving. And I think part of it is something that you hinted at the beginning where, you know, we do this stuff alone to get okay with ourselves, to get okay with the voices in our own heads and the discomfort of not performing and not being the mask that we wear for everybody. Yeah. But I think I've just gotten to a point where like, I'm actually kind of okay with me.
Yeah.
Like I hate myself so much less than I used to, you know, it's kind of nice. And so now it feels okay to let people in to this part, to that part of my world to share it now, because it's not just about fighting this silent, lonely fight against, you know, sad, angry voices. Now it's something that like, I enjoy doing this stuff and it would be cool to share it with other people.
Yeah. It is very interesting how so much of my life, I was like, well, I can't go do that because I don't know how to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it defeats the whole purpose of going to do it. Like, we were all beginners at something at some point in time. I think, you know, at the gym the other day, someone new came in and they're like, you know, we were all lifting weights and they did it like, you know, with no weight. And I made sure to like walk up to that person and be like, hey, great job. That was awesome. You did really awesome. Like, you just like encourage that. Cause nobody's going like, ugh, what a loser, right? They don't know how to do something. No one's doing that.
Right.
Right. I mean, and if they are, you don't want to be friends with them anyway.
Totally.
Right. So it took me a long time to realize, just go do the thing, regardless of like what it is or what your skill capacity is. Just go do the thing and it's going to be better for you. But same thing. Like, I am so much more open with what I'm not good at and just socializing with those things. So I will never be good at golf ever. Like, I've just come to terms with it. I will never be good at it. I get pissed off when I'm out there, but like, you know, I just recently played with a friend of mine who is really good at golf and he doesn't care. Like, we just go out there and we have a good time and that's it.
No, I think you're right. Most of the time, that friend that you're playing golf with just wants your company. They're not out there for the competition. They're not out there trying to one-up somebody. They just want to spend time with you. A friend of mine who went through a similar situation, moving to a new place, knowing nobody, intentionally was like, I'm going to be somebody else when I get there. I'm going to be the person that goes up to the other parents at school to pick up my kid and just talk to them because they need that interaction as much as I do. But I'm going to be the one brave enough to start it. And I admire the shit out of that because that is not something that I am comfortable doing. I probably could do it, but I overthink the conversation. I worry, like, I don't know this person. I barely know me. What are we going to talk about? I don't know what to do here. But it is so important to – we're social creatures. That's what we're designed to do. And we are evolving a planet and a society that is more and more isolated and relying on fake connection. And so the loneliness just gets worse and worse and worse because we just jump onto Instagram and become friends that way, right? Like, we're not actually out there interacting and creating real bonds and real connection with people. And I'm seeing it. The little bit of effort that I'm putting in and the friendships I'm making are making me so much happier and making me feel so much better. So I just I wanted to figure out a way to help our listeners get to the point where I'm trying to get to. And coincidentally, I was listening to the More Than Anxiety podcast the other day, a show that you and I were lucky enough to be on with host Megan DeVito. She did a show all about this, about how to make friends. So I reached out to her and said, hey, Megan, come on our show and help us make friends because it's getting lonely over here. So what's the deal? Why is it so hard for us as adults to figure out how to make friends?
My theory on this, really, and it's funny because the whole conversation, my whole podcast episode came from a conversation with my 23-year-old son, who was like, there's literally no one in my age bracket who has the same interests as me in all of Indianapolis. And I'm like, I don't think that's true, man. But and I'm like, you're 23. You went to college there. I know there's people. And he's like, nah, I think they all left. They didn't leave. So my theory on this, I'm like, okay, listen, here's what's going on. For 20 years, you've been in this artificial, like, microcosm of friendship, right? Like, we go to preschool, we go to kindergarten, all the way through high school with these kids where we grow up and are, you know, what you like to do. They're on the same sports teams as you. You eat lunch with them. You're with them all the time, like 7 hours a day, 5 days a week for sometimes 12 or 15 years with these same kids. I mean, we're, and if you're from a little town like I am, And it's like, of course you're friends with them because you've basically inherited siblings or cousins or just people that you're with all the time. And then you graduate high school and suddenly it's like, whoa, what happened? But then you go to college where you live in a dorm with them or you join a fraternity or a sorority or you share an apartment. And again, you're going through things with these people and then you graduate. And then it's really, whoa, where did everybody go? Because we don't have that fake community, which I guess is really, it's really a real community, but we don't have that handed to us community anymore. And suddenly it's like, you're on your own, kid, get out there and go find some friends. But suddenly it's like crickets and nobody's there. And you do think that nobody is in the state of, you know, nobody's in the city of Indianapolis who's anything like you. But those same people who you lived with just like 1 year ago live in the same city.
Right.
But things are different. So I think that's what makes it hard. It's like all of a sudden we're self-conscious. We don't know where to find people. We can't talk because we're not with them all the time anymore.
And then I'm just, you know, I'd love to hear you elaborate a little bit more, right? Because we would graduate and like when I graduated college, I went to a job and I went into an office and I made friends in the office. So like there was that additional piece. But now I work from home and more people work from home. We're not going into the office. Like I know a few people who their first job out of college is at home and all alone. So like talk about that. Tell me about that. Like is that that's just increasing it, right?
It is. And we're coming off that. I mean, I hate going back to this, but God, we're going to keep going back to it. COVID. Well, I mean, let's talk about the fact that we all were homebound, right? And in that place of not only becoming terrified that we were going to die if we went out or saw somebody face to face, but really it became secure to be at home. And it did some big time damage to how we socialize with people, especially I think for kids who were in that place of like brain development where they really were trying to figure out how to become who they were or how to socialize with people, but also for adults where we lost track of people. Some people didn't go back to the same places, like the people we were friends with at work. And then for people who are partially remote or fully remote, we don't have those connections that we used to have. And somewhere along the line, we just broke that pathway in our brains where it's like, oh, I know. I go up and I say, hey, did you see the game last night? Oh, you like that game? I like that game. Or I went to this new restaurant. Those casual conversations became awkward and they became like, well, that's what I do on Instagram or that's what I do on Twitter or Threads or whatever. I talk to people on there because they can't see me and I don't have any idea. I could never just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, did you see the game? Because that would be weird.
See, okay, so two things there, right? One, I'm very much an introvert. That's why I do an audio podcast, right? Like my social interaction is all audio recorded and shared that way. So, A, small talk just kills me. I could give two shits about the game, right? I could give two shits about how was your weekend. I don't tell me what happened to you when you were six that you're still traumatized by. Let's go deep. I know we just met, but come on, what's the deal here? That's where I want to live. I can't do the small talk. So that in combination with being an introvert and then having that highlighted, you know, with COVID, the idea of going up to some rando in a coffee shop and going like, hey, we both come here a lot. What's your deal? Like just every part of that to me is like red flag. No, run the other way.
Yeah.
So help me out here. What do I do with this? I'm a mess.
So as a coach, my first thought is that true that you really can't come up and ask somebody about something? Because I don't think it is true. I think that it's harder for people who are introverted because we are kind of like, one of my friends this morning had posted that her neighbor was like, oh my gosh, do you want to come over and see my turtle? It's grown so much. And she was like, nah, I don't. So, and I'm like the same way. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to talk about your stupid turtle. Yeah. But we really do that though. It's not, we're not to the point where we can't be like, hey, nice shoes or something like that. You know, we don't want to talk about your shoes for hours. We don't want to like, we don't need that. Like, oh, thanks. I bought them here and it was this, but we can do it, but we have thoughts about who we are when we do it. Right. Like, I don't want to know.
I think as a guy, like there's a lot of me that holds back in that way because I don't want to be seen as like some weird dude, right? Like, what's this guy talking about my shoes? Like,
the man or the bear conversation, right?
Yeah. My wife could go up to anybody and say, cool shoes. She did that to Macklemore one time. Didn't know it was him. But Like, if I went up to him and was like, hey, bro, cool shoes. Like, he's going, what's his angle? What's this guy's deal? Like, what's going on? Like, that's what's going on in my head is, why are you talking to me? That's bizarre.
Yeah.
But I think, in you know, to your point, and you talk about this in your show, if it's a shared interest thing, and this is what I've been doing. I found a cold plunge group. So every Sunday we go and we get in cold water for half an hour together, and it's awesome. And so we talk
half
about...
hour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's ridiculous.
But there's plenty of conversation that comes up there because we're all basically trying to distract each other from the pain, right? So when there's that shared thing that brings you together, that's the familiar, hey, I did this in school. We all have to be here. Let's get through this together. Work, hey, we all have to be here. Let's get through this together.
Yeah.
So if you can choose what's the thing we all have to be here doing, it's because you want to be there. You're not being forced into this situation. I think that is sort of the natural, pardon the pun here, but icebreaker that helps you create those relationships.
Yeah. And you can be in the cold plunge for a half hour, which blows my mind, first of all, but you all have something in common already.
Right.
You're there for cold plunge, right?
Right?
At school, I think that surviving the pain is a really good analogy because a lot of people are at school don't want to be there. I mean, especially kids that are like, I mean, have you seen what's going on outside? I want to be outside. I want to be in this classroom doing math right now. So there is like that shared pain experience too, which especially for introverts, if you can share about your pain, that's quality introvert conversation, right? Like let's talk about your inner child. But there is that level of when you're thinking about where do I find these people who I could actually be friends with? They're everywhere, but we put ourselves kind of in this catch-22 where I don't want to look like a weirdo if I talk to them, but how do I know if I'm ever going to connect with them if I'm not really willing to go out there and be a weirdo for a second and say, nice shoes, or how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really, just like, how are you doing? And everybody's like, fine, but what if we didn't? What if we didn't say fine? What if we said, I'm freaking amazing today? I mean, what would happen if we answered like with how we really felt? Maybe that opens that introvert corridor. I don't know. But that idea of if you can really connect with somebody, if you're like really showing up and you kind of like knock them over with your answer, then you start learning about them. And I guess for like my advice to my kid really was like, what do you want to do? Like, what do you like to do? Because you are not the only person in your location who likes that. Like, you were doing that before. There are other people there, but they're not going to like pop in out of the sky and say, hey, you like this. I like this. We should go like this together. You have to find them. And I think that's really the challenging part. And when we tell ourselves they're not there, then our brains are automatically switching into, no, they're not, because your brain will believe anything that you tell it. So every time we say, nope, there's nobody out there that's like me. I don't have any friends. It's hard to do. It gets harder. We see less people and we're less likely to go do it because we've convinced ourselves that that's the truth, and it's not.
Yeah. I want to touch on that. So the gym that I go to, like, that is my community, and like, that's where the area that I moved to, that's where I made all of my friends. And in there, on a pretty regular basis, people will be like, hey, how's it going? I'll be like, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And every single time they're like, huh? Wait, how did you get there? And then we just start talking. Like, and it's so interesting because I'll like put a little blurb about me out there of like, this is how I got amazing.
Yeah.
And then it turns around to them. And then I just ask questions.
Yeah.
So I am curious, like, at what point when you are trying to make these friends, like, and you're trying to have these conversations and you're saying cool shoes, like, we all want to talk about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But if you talk about yourself, you are not like the other person won't exactly like you as much. If you let them talk about themselves, they'll like you because you let them talk about themselves. Like there's such a science to that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think really everybody wants to talk about themselves. That's why we always have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and that's why when someone is talking, at least for somebody like me, that's like, not interrupting sometimes is really hard to like, oh, but I have this story about myself too. So yeah, it's kind of that, it is an art, but being able to listen to respond as opposed to listen to, let me tell you this other cool thing about me so that the other person's not just standing there going, yeah, yeah, Yeah. And kind of asking those leading questions, too. I mean, if we know what we're trying to know, and not to be manipulative or like a weirdo about it, be like, hey, I'm just trying to find somebody that likes the same thing as me. Let's talk about this thing. And asking them a question like, hey, I really like this guy because, you know, you said gym. Like, I really like this, whatever it is that you like to do there, because it does this. But like, what do you like to do? Like, why do you like that? And then they have to ask you. And then it creates more of a conversation as opposed to information exchange, right? Like, we are exchanging information, but we don't want it to just be like a business card transaction where we're like, here, this is about me. Here's like a small blurb about me. Now, tell me everything about you. We can ask them leading questions that can make them wonder more things. Like when they ask you and you say fucking amazing and they're like, nobody ever answers that way. What is up with this guy? Like, what really happened that was that great? I thought everything sucked. If that's really what they're thinking, then you can like, they right away asked you a question, right? Like what? Nobody feels that way. Especially if you answer that way. Like if you said everything sucks, they'd be like, yeah, me too. But when you said amazing, but is that okay, what?
Right? Like, it, maybe there's commonality there. Like, yeah, it sucks for me too. Can you connect on that level without making it weird?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if we want to commiserate all the time, but I do think that like being able just to have that contrast of saying, yeah, today's terrible. Like, my dog got run over, whatever, something terrible happened to you, you know, like tell them, but be like, you know what, but yesterday was really good. Or I mean, maybe I just think it's bad because my good days are like this. Like, this is what a good day looks like for me. And I don't know, I have like, just today's terrible, I just feel awful today. And being able to have that and not having to have that canned response, but also not being afraid to say it. Right? Like, some people are, I mean, I think you're right, especially for people who are introverted or people who are worried about how someone's going to respond. The more we worry about how they're going to respond, the less likely we are to say anything, because we're planning a conversation that hasn't been had yet. Like, what do I say next? But if they say that, what would I say next? Well, we don't even know what they're going to say. We're just making it all up.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things you also talked about on your podcast is basically self-awareness, knowing your values and how that can be sort of the roadmap to finding these people. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, where's my mirror? They're still figuring that out, right? Like, what are their values? Like, I've talked about this with people, the few friends I have now. Mm-hmm. And it's just this idea of, well, what are you interested in? And my mind just goes blank. I'm just like, I kind of do the same. Like, I'm a parent, right? I'm busy. I've got stuff that I have to do all the time.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I want to do anymore, because that's a luxury I can't afford.
Yeah.
So how do you figure that out? How do you start to map that out so you can find the people in the right place?
Yeah, I think that part of it for me, I don't know if your values and what you spend your time doing are always the same thing. Right? Like, when we have kids and it's our responsibility to keep them fed, alive, and hopefully not screaming, then our values are maybe quiet and family and, you know, providing those things. But when we think about what we actually like to do and we think that's a luxury, I don't really have time to go do the things. Like, what do I like to do? I like to go to the beach by myself and like hang out for a while and look at the water and just not have anybody to talk to me. Is that my value? I don't know if those are values, but I guess what I value is having time to think or deep thinking. I value, you know, being in nature. I value connecting, you know, with friends. Like, I don't need to connect with all my friends at once. I need to connect with like one friend. Like, I would be perfectly happy with one person. Like, I value deep conversations. So it's not necessarily what we're doing, I think, that are our values. It's why we do those things. And I think a lot of times, another way, I mean, if we want to go back to our interests, I'm always like, what'd you do when you were a kid? Because a lot of times, if we can circle back to, I coached a woman on this a while ago, and she was so stressed out. She's like, I think I'm going to go for a promotion. And the next week, she's like, I think I'm going to quit my job. And I'm like, whoa, hey, what? We were just talking about a promotion last week. Now you're going to quit. And I was like, what's up? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know myself. And I was like, well, what did you like to do when you were a kid? She's like, I liked safari animals and soccer. And I'm like, then that's what we're going to do. And we built an entire way for her to get a promotion based on soccer and safaris, which was crazy. But I think if we do look back at like, what did you like to do when you were a kid? Why did you like that? That's pretty telling. And a lot of times we end up in some sort of that path. I think most of us know where we're going automatically. It's like we try to forget, we try to change that path, but we end up somewhere on that path. So I think it's kind of a curious thing to think about. Like, why did I do that? Why did I love that?
This might be my limiting beliefs talking, but I think it was my time spent watching professional wrestling and playing video games that got me into this mess, if I'm being honest.
No, but for real. But what did you like about that?
I loved doing that as a kid. But why? Like now, how do I do that? Right? Like, hey, kids, let's watch two grown men pretend to beat the crap out of each other for an hour.
Yeah, but what if you did? I mean, why did you like it? I mean, I think that's really the question. Not that you liked it, but there was something about it. Either it was who you were with or how you felt or what was interesting about it. I think if you stop and like be like, why did I like that? And maybe it was just a way to disconnect and to be able to
be like.
Oh, it was
an escape. 100%.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally escaping. Like it was, yeah. It was fun. I love that. Video games. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I am still amazed that people become like YouTube stars. Like I know I right. need to get over it and be like, one time my kid told me that and I'm like, no, that's not a real thing. And now I'm like, yeah. Dang, I should have told
that's like one of the like one of the most popular answers for kids of what they want to be when they grow up as a YouTube star.
Like esports. I'm like,
right.
I don't know if esports are sports, but they are. I mean, they are. It's a whole thing. So, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it is your value and maybe there is where we like where that was leading you all along. I think that that's always an interesting question to look at. Why did you like what you liked?
Yeah. Well, my question for you is I liked Star Wars and sleeping. So how can I get a promotion out of that? Right.
Surely I'm positive there's a way. Maybe you could like go sleep at the space station, volunteer for NASA. I mean, there could be a thing there. True. I bet they need somebody to know how that works for somebody that's not trained. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, in preparation for all this, one of the things you talked about, and this sort of ties in, is purpose. And literally last night, while I was listening to your podcast and kind of thinking about all this, I was reminded of a clip. I'm sure you guys have both seen it, and I'm sure people watching it have seen this, but it's Simon Sinek is talking about how to find your why, really how to find your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to share this because it hit me like a ton of bricks when I watched this again.
I can tell you a fun way. Some of you may know about it. It's called the Friends Exercise. Which is really fun, which is go to a friend who you love and who loves you. The kind of friend that if you called them at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know they would take your call. And if they called you, you would absolutely be there for them. Do not do this with a sibling. Do not do this with a parent. And do not do this with a spouse. It doesn't work. Because they don't know you. Go to a friend and who you love and ask them this very simple question. Why are we friends? And they're going to look at you like you're crazy because you're asking them to put into words a feeling. And the part of the brain that controls our emotions doesn't control language. So we struggle. And ironically, you actually stop asking the question why, because the question why elicits emotional responses and you convert to a rational question. Come on, you'll say, what specifically is it about me that I know that you would be there for me no matter what? And they will struggle. And they will hem and ha, and they go, I don't know. And they'll start describing you. You're trustworthy. You're funny. You're always there for me. And you have to play devil's advocate. And you go, great. That's the definition of a friend. What specifically is it about me that I know you'd be there for me no matter what? And they're going to go through a few rounds of this. You cannot help them. You cannot let anybody else help them. You have to let them go through the stress. And eventually, after a bunch of rounds, they will give up and they will stop describing you and they will start talking about themselves. And my friends said to me, Simon, I don't know. All I know is I don't even have to talk to you. I can just sit in a room with you and I feel inspired. And I got goosebumps. In fact, I'm getting them right now. And that's because they put into words something that is deep inside of me. And you will, you know, you're there when you have the emotional response to what they're describing about themselves. You will well up, you'll have goosebumps, something will happen. And if you do this with multiple friends, you will get similar, if not the exact same answer, because the thing you give to the world, your why, is the reason they love you. It's the thing they want in their life that fills that missing gap that they don't have, which is why we're not friends with everyone. So it's a wonderful, wonderful way to find your why.
I just thought that was incredibly powerful. And as it was happening, mm-hmm. I was imagining that having that conversation. I didn't even have to have the conversation. I imagined having that conversation with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I landed on very much what we do here, trying to help people not suffer.
Yeah.
And if I can build relationships around helping people not suffer, how much more rewarding of a life does that provide?
Yeah.
And yeah. I just think that exercise can be so powerful if you can go through it. Like for me, I didn't have to, but the idea of asking people, what is it about me? That's how you get to know yourself, is ask them to hold up the mirror and tell you, this is what I see in you, because it'll be reflected back in how they feel about you.
Yeah. And it's funny, I was doing the same thing. I was picturing like one of my best friends for my entire life. Like, what do I love her? Like, what do I love about her? And sometimes I feel like it fills that gap in yourself too sometimes, right? Like, wow, I love this because that's what she brings out of me, that part of me that I wish I had more of.
Yeah.
That like when I'm with her, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Whereas if it were me by myself, I'd be like, absolutely not. Yep. So it is. It's such a cool thing to think about.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking about Jeremy and I was like, well, that's a great question. I don't know about that guy.
All right. So Megan, where do we start? We want to make friends. What's step one to at least get us on the path to making friends as adults?
Go where you like to go. I think the first start is really like step one, leave your house, right? Like, I mean, we can social media all day long. You can do it at 2 o'clock in the morning. And those people are great. I have some great friends who I've met on social media. But if we really want to make friends, I don't think we're looking for somebody to talk to on Twitter or X or whatever at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think we're looking for somebody that you can have a beer with, right? Like, I want to call someone that I'd be like, do you want wine? I know it's Tuesday, but can we just do that?
I know it's 8 a.m., but what are you doing
like,
right now?
you drink mimosas, right? We could go for the, like, now. Can we go? Those are the people, but you have to go out and you have to be willing to put yourself out there. And sometimes that's really uncomfortable, whether it's because you haven't done it in a long time, because you've been working remotely or you've been isolated, or you're in this place where you're questioning what do I offer people? But I think that it has to be like that moment of like, no, I'm going to go out. And when you start to go out and you start to notice that, like, wait a minute, I've been here before and I think I saw that person the last time I was here. There's a reason you guys are both there. It's because you're both interested in the same thing. So maybe it's the gym, and maybe it's like, oh, well, we're both here at the same thing. Like, they're at the gym, I'm at the gym. Obviously, this is a connection. And maybe it doesn't go any further than that, but you aren't going to know unless you put yourself out there. And it was so easy when we were little. And mm-hmm. I think my best example was, like, with the new kid that comes to school. And it's like vultures on this kid. This poor kid comes in, like, everybody's been in this situation where either you were the new kid or you go and there's like, oh my God, there's a new kid in class today. That one's mine. And we're all like, no. I'm going to be that kid's friend. We ran over there like, oh my gosh, this is me. I love this. You love this. We love this. We should hang out. Star Wars. Yes. Wrestling. Yes. Let's do all the things. Do you want to spend the night at my house this weekend? We weren't shy. But somewhere as adults, we've gotten to this like, I mean, I'm awkward and I'm introverted and they're going to think I'm weird. And those are just stories that we're telling ourselves because we're afraid that that's what we are. But they may not see us that way at all. We made new friends so easily when we were little because we were like, whatever, here I am. And that really comes with being like, yeah, sometimes I'm weird. Sometimes I, you know, sometimes I'm a weirdo and sometimes I don't feel like talking. And sometimes I'll talk to you forever about random things. But when we're okay with ourselves and we're willing to say, yeah, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to do it. But it does take that moment of bravery, right? Especially mm-hmm. as adults, which is weird because it's like we've unlearned things that we needed to know when we naturally did them when we were little. It was natural. And we just have to get back to that place where you're like, I'm going to make a friend. We just knew we were.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. We just have gotten to this very, like, I can't kind of place, which none of it's true. It's just what we're saying to ourselves.
And like you said, it's uncomfortable. And as we've learned over the years of doing this, the more we lean into the uncomfortable is where we find the most growth.
Yeah. I have a friend and his quote is always like, I make myself like I am. It wasn't a good day unless I was completely uncomfortable most of the day. Like, he's like, that is how I do it. And he's amazing. He's out there just every day. He's like, I want to be as uncomfortable as possible. And I'm like, oh, my God. But how are you not exhausted?
Yeah.
But he does it. Like, he lives his life that way. He's out there all the time. Like, no, like all day long, be uncomfortable.
I've got a quote on like every part of my house that says the magic is in the work that you're avoiding. And it's like, across the board, work-wise, you know, making friends, things like that. If it's hard, if it's something that you want to avoid, that's usually where you need to lean in.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't want to. We really have gotten to this place where everything's pretty cushy. Mm-hmm. And we like it that way. Everything's just a little bit too easy. And, you know, maybe that's to our detriment. Maybe we've just gotten to a point where we've made things too easy. I don't know. But I like it that way. I'm not complaining. But really, I mean, we have to get back to that place where we're willing to put ourselves out there.
Yeah. All I can think of is the movie WALL-E, where all the people are just floating in the chairs, drinking their big sip. Like, you know, life just got so easy. And they're like, oh, and we don't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
And then as soon as something got hard, it was catastrophic. So that's mm-hmm. why you have to test, right? Like you have to do hard things safely so that when it happens and it's mm-hmm. not safe, you're prepared and you're strong and you're resilient and you can face it and take it on.
Yeah. And we are resilient people. And I think that's an important thing to remember too, that like, as much as we can joke about like the pandemic killing everything for everyone, we are resilient because we're still here and we're getting to a place where I think we are going to hit this level of like, post-pandemic normalcy, and everybody's like, it's never going to be normal. I'm like, no, it is. It's just going to take time. But human beings, for the most part, are resilient people. I mean, we are a resilient species, and we just have to start feeding our brains the things that we need to believe about ourselves instead of the things that we fear. And right now, we're afraid we can't find friends. We're afraid that we can't do this. I'm afraid to talk to people. But if we just would change our internal dialogue, it would make such a huge difference. I mean, beyond friendship, it really would.
Yeah. Yep. This is what you help people with in your coaching and in your podcast. Tell us more about you, yes. your work and the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a life coach. And I help people who have really big things that they want to do, but then they overthink and they get anxious and they talk themselves out of it, like making friends or asking for raises or anything else like that. So anybody that's got these like really big ambitions, like I know I can do it, but oh my God, I don't know that I can do it. Those are the people I love to work with. And so, yeah, I have a podcast. It's called More Than Anxiety. And I talk about all the anxiety things about, you know, how you feel, what you think, what's going on, lots of different topics. And so, yeah, they can find me at More Than Anxiety. It's on all the podcast platforms. It's on YouTube. And my website is just my name. It's just megandevito.com. And you can connect with me there, too.
Our thanks to Megan DeVito, the host of the More Than Anxiety podcast, one in which I truly love because anxiety is kind of my thing. You can find out more about her and what she does in the show notes for this episode at thefitmess.com. And Jeremy, that was such a good interview. And I had a lot of reflection as I was talking with her. I know, you know, anyone who's listened to us for a while knows that, you know, my wife and I split a few years ago. And with any divorce, right, the friends split too. And I don't, you know, I don't know if I knew it was coming or something was like, we had a lot of shared friends and we actually moved back into her hometown. So it's not my hometown. And I didn't know anyone here for the most part. And anyone I did know were her friends. Like when the split happened, I had this community of people that I knew that I had built up through going to things that I'm interested in and just meeting people who happen to have that same interest. So I was just reflecting on how bad it could have been when I got divorced, how few friends I could have had if I didn't have that community of people, if I didn't have like that network that I put time into building, whether I saw this coming or I just needed, you know, like I moved into a new area and I didn't have my own friends. That's exactly what I had to do. I had to go out and find those places where those people were that were doing the same things that I wanted to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, I've got a pretty good community of friends where I am. And I just can't tell you how much I just kept reflecting back on that, going like, my God, if I hadn't done that, where would I be? I would have had no one. Like that would have been atrocious for me.
Especially given the modern way things are, you've been working from home the whole time. So to Megan's point, you don't have that forced environment. That's something I've been struggling with. Most of the friends I've had over my life are coworkers, they're colleagues. And moving to this new place and working fully remote, my wife and I are home together all day. We don't have coworkers to share, you know, an experience in another place. And so I remember my therapist very clearly before we moved, he said, give it 2 years before you decide if it's like, if you're going to stay or go, because it takes 2 years to really like settle in. And I think, you know, add COVID, add remote work environment, that extends. And now we're at that 3-year mark and it's finally starting. Like my daughters are really like gelling. They're finding their community. That's inspiring me. I'm starting to find mine. And it is, you have to be intentional. And in many ways it's better because by being intentional and putting yourself out there and doing the things you're interested in to find the community there, it's way better than, hey, we work in the same building every day for 8 hours. We might as well learn to tolerate each other. And then you suddenly have that, you know, kind of forced grade school relationship again. I just think it can't be overstated how important it is to intentionally build community and not just rely on the one that you're handed because of your circumstance.
But on the flip side of it too, like I have very actively, you know, decided to cut people out of my life that weren't serving my interest. So there were definitely a few people that were in my life that, because I was lonely, because I didn't have anyone else, I kind of latched on to them to some extent.
Yeah.
And that was hard. That was really hard to just kind of walk away from those few people. But they just weren't serving me in the way I needed to be served. Right. There was all the situations were different, but it just wasn't what I wanted. And unfortunately I had to walk away from a few of those. So, I mean, to sum it up, like, love the people that you love and make sure that you stay in touch with them and you're friends with them, but make sure you're not hanging on to somebody just because you're lonely and it's not the right person who's serving you.
Yeah. 100%. All right. Well, great advice there. And again, the key point I think is leaning into the discomfort. If that's what's the quote you have on your wall? The magic is in the work you're avoiding.
The magic is in the work that you're avoiding.
Magic. So keep that in mind with whatever challenge you're facing, trying to overcome something. If it's uncomfortable, that's probably the path you need to go down. Thank you so much for listening. If you've gotten any value out of this episode, please do share it with somebody who could benefit from it. You can do so by just hitting that share button in your social media player or your podcast player, whatever you want to do, but share this out and help other people to be a little bit less lonely. I hope this episode helps you and helps them. Thanks so much for being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode at thefitmess.com.
See everyone.
We know this podcast is amazing and it doesn't seem to lack anything, but we need a legal disclaimer. Prior to implementing anything discussed in this podcast, it is your responsibility to conduct your own research and consult your physician. You should assume that Jeremy and Zach don't know what they're talking about, and they're not liable for any physical or emotional issues that occur directly or indirectly from listening to this podcast.